again, it is an honor, a distinct honor, to have this wonderful event right in our downtown Vancouver, which has seen so many many wonderful things happen in this last few years, with strategic investments being made and very clear leadership by the City of Vancouver about the wealth and the value of having a strong city center. And being the executive director of Vancouver's Downtown Association, I can only tell you that it's with great pride that I'm here today to explain some of our role in that and to thank the city once again for everything that they do to uplift and unite both our downtown with our east side and our east side with our downtown, and we're working very hard to make sure that happened. But before we go on, would you join me in thanking once again the 2nd Brigade 95th Infantry Division for the presentation of the colors. I always get a thrill for that. And you have to agree that Taylor Merritt hit the ball out of the park. She did a great job. So thank you, Taylor. You know, the renovation of this beloved old theater is just a real great metaphor for what's happening in downtown Vancouver. You know, and I can't go much further without asking you to do a very modern thing that's probably not something that they asked you to do when this was a brand new theater. Take your cell phone out of your pocket and please turn it off so that we don't have a modern interruption to today's proceedings. We would appreciate that. This theater was brought back to life with the loving hands of many people in our community that saw a need and a way to give back and a way to bring a real anchor back to our downtown, especially to our main street, and we have to thank them for that. We also need to thank those wonderful designers and everyone who had the vision for what this could be once again, and Bill Lee, who was, as the property owner, hung on for all he was worth and made things happen. Even the seats that you're sitting in, aren't they wonderful? Very modern, with a cup holder. This is great. We now have a modern presence in an historic building, and it is just the metaphor for what is happening in downtown Vancouver. It's not unusual, though, when you think about it. We are a community that voted to support lifelong learning with putting the wonderful downtown library into place, and I cannot thank the City of Vancouver enough for bringing its workforce back into the city center and how much that has meant to local business and to the vibrancy of our streets. The other thing that you'll notice, and you know, you've been given some coupons that would help you get out and kind of circulate around downtown Vancouver, some of our merchants, our restaurants, even the climbing wall, the brand new Source climbing wall slipped a coupon in there. I don't know that you need to go and scamper up that wall today, but once you get your courage up, please make sure you stop by. That's where the old Vancouver Food Center used to be, and now it's a very modern, very active, very family-friendly draw into our city center. And we're seeing more of that. There'll be more regional brands coming. Vancouver's downtown is coming back, and it's coming back with a vengeance. It's coming back carefully, it's coming back strategically, but it is coming back. And why is that important? It's important to have a strong city center for attraction of businesses. This is a great place to bring a business and let it grow. It's a great place to raise a family, and it's a great place to add to the economic mix of our region. We are the fourth largest city in the state of Washington. It's very important that we shine up our shoes, we put our best foot forward, and we get busy and do business. And so it all works together. And the City of Vancouver is one of the strongest partners of that, and I'm going to give you an example of that in a minute. But my mother always told me, never ever miss a chance to say thank you. And today I'd like to say thank you to five very special donors from our community. Our organization is a volunteer organization. There's me and one 10 to 12 hour administrative assistant, thank goodness, who works with me. Everything else is done by volunteer. And volunteer base is extremely important to us. So how do we get our funding? The most important piece of funding that we have is VDA, comes from a tax credit incentive program. And when people say, oh, you know, all those government programs, those tax credit things, they're not worth anything, I want you to be able to say proudly and with authority, yes, they are. They're doing something. The Main Street Tax Credit Incentive Program is the bulk of our budget. And when we are successful in being fully subscribed, it brings $133,333.33 to our budget. And out of a $205,000 budget, that's very significant, very significant. And we don't get those donations unless we can prevail with local business to donate. And I'm very proud to announce today that we were once again fully funded. We are the most successful program in the state for accessing these funds, and it's because we have such strong support from the local business community. And I'm very proud today to announce that Kiewit Infrastructure West was a major contributor. Albina Fuel, for the third year, has been a strong contributor. Bader Beer and Wine, another contributor, his second year. Johnson Bixby and Associates, a second year. And finally, Curry McLean Accountants here in downtown for a second year. And so it's with our profound gratitude that we get this kind of support from the local business community. And if you'd like to know more about that, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I never miss an opportunity to talk about that because it's just so critical to the programs that we are able to deliver. Additionally, the City of Vancouver is a very, very strong partner. And I want to give you an example of that. We believe as an organization that a strong public art program is critical to creating that kind of downtown that you won't find anyplace else, that is interesting, that is welcoming, and it beckons you on from place to place to place to discover, and that you feel safe, and that it's clean, and that it's welcoming. And that's what our organization seeks to do. We're all about that, a nonprofit that's not politically motivated at all, but we're working for the betterment of the downtown core. Once again, not because we're future farmers of America who just can't think of anything better to do than plant trees or flower baskets, but because we know that that really does a lot to enhance the downtown core. One of the things that we do is, once again, support a very strong local public art program. And thanks to a donation from the City of Vancouver, and we also got donations from the Friends of Carl Dobbs, our beloved board member who passed away not long ago and was a part of our organization with a strong emphasis on art. We now have chosen a second piece to be installed in our downtown. And we're very excited to announce what that process was. 19 artists submitted their qualifications for this project, and you may have noticed that there's some excavation going on the corner of Evergreen and Main, and that's where this piece will go. 19, it just blew our minds. 19 artists were interested in producing art for that corner. We narrowed it down to a select three, and that a committee led by our committee chair, Lee Coulthard, was very excited to announce, and we've kept this a secret, I don't know how, but we would like to announce that actually the artists that were chosen to produce this piece of art are from our own community. And that's very exciting, and I would like to introduce to you Cobalt Design Works here from Vancouver, Washington, to a husband and wife team who live in Arneda. They are going to be producing and installing a fabulous piece of art unveiled April 6th during our First Friday Art Walk. I would like to have Jennifer and Dave stand. And that too is like another piece of the puzzle, isn't it? Local folks helping do something interesting and thought-provoking in our downtown, much the way this theater came back to life. So we're very excited for changes in downtown Vancouver. We know that we don't work alone. Heavens no, everything we do is done in partnership. We're thrilled to have so many of you that we count amongst our friends. Others of you are friends we just haven't met yet, and we'd love to do that. But we are thrilled once again to have you downtown, enjoying all that's here. And at this point, I would like to introduce my board chairman. This is Linda Glover. She is the executive director of Gifts for Our Community, who operates a couple of projects in downtown Vancouver. You may know Divine Bites Cupcakes. You may know Divine Consign. Linda Glover, our board chair.
Thank you. It's an honor to welcome the dignitaries here today. I believe that Senator Craig Primer was here for a bit but had to dash out. But we do have right here with us State Representative Jim Mueller. Would you please welcome Jim Mueller? Jim, would you please stand? We'd like to welcome the staffs of our federal and state elected officials. I think we have here Governor Gregoire's office, U.S. Senior Senator Patty Murray's office, Senator Maria Cantwell's office, and Congresswoman James Herrera Butler's office. Would you please stand? And from the county, we have Steve Stewart. Please stand. We thank all of you from the county for being here today. In a minute, you'll meet Vancouver's mayor, the city council, and the city manager. We'd like to welcome the visiting mayors and council members from the surrounding areas. I believe Ron Onslow, mayor of City of Richfield, Paul Greenlee, council member from the City of Washougal, and Adrian Cortes, council member of the City of Battleground, are all here. Would you please stand? And our port leaders, please stand. Anyone here from the Port of Vancouver? Okay. All school board members and leaders. Oh, someone here. Sorry. Can't see the lights. All school board members and leaders from our school districts, Vancouver School District, Evergreen, ESD 112, Clark College, UWSU Vancouver, and the International Air Academy, would you please stand? In case I've missed anyone, if you serve in a position, elected position, or a leader for of our public, would you please stand so we can thank you for your service? Thank you.
Mayor Leavitt chose one charity to be benefited by this morning's gathering. He always, he seems to have a soft spot in his heart for children, and this is no exception. Today we're hoping that you will give a suggested donation at the door of $5 to support the Washington State Department of Early Learning. I would like to introduce Wayne Clemenson, my friend Wayne Clemenson. Our kids played soccer together back when we were young. Well, he's still young. And he today represents the Department of Early Learning, and he is the Director of Community Partnership and Development. Would you welcome Wayne?
Well, thank you, Mayor Leavitt, and distinguished guests and legislators. I just thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I am Wayne Clemenson, representing Educational Opportunities for Children and Families. Thank you, Mayor Leavitt, for inviting the community to support this important work of EOCF during the State of the City address today. EOCF has been in the business of early learning in this community for 44 years and is the second largest social services nonprofit in Clark County. EOCF is an agency dedicated to the mission of strengthening children and families through provision of early learning services such as Head Start, ECAP, early support for infant and toddlers, and Hotshots Youth Sports. Our mission calls us to provide child development education utilizing critical community partnerships and services which are designed to give the most vulnerable young children a good start in school readiness and enable them to have a maximum chance of success in school and in life. We work with the entire family to ensure the success of early learners. We serve children birth to 5 years old, all of whom are of poverty level income, many of whom are disabled. We serve large numbers of children who are foster or kinship placements because their parents are unable to take care of them for numerous different reasons. 80% or more of the human brain development occurs between birth and age 5. That's why it is so critical that we provide young children with the best possible start. Our programs help to provide that critical education at an early age for more than 2,000 children a year. We are funded by federal and state sources to provide services to about 25% of the eligible children in Clark County. We need the support of community partners such as you, who are here today to help us meet the required non-federal share of $1.6 million in contributions and in-kind services that EOCF must raise every year in the community to keep those public funding sources. That's why community contributions are so critical to EOCF. Also, we want to be able to extend the reach of our programs to serve more children, moving towards serving 100% of the at-risk children in this community. If you have suggestions of ways that you or your business can help infant children and families in this community, please contact me as the Community Partnership and Resource Development Manager at EOCF. There are contribution boxes available at the exit today if you desire to support EOCF. Thanks, Mayor Levitt, for your continued support of EOCF. Our mayor understands the importance of young children and their future. Remember, an investment in early childhood education is an investment in the workforce of the future. That investment will pay dividends for a lifetime. Thank you.
Okay, so now the reason that we're here, we are so excited to find out how we are doing as a community. You're going to meet the mayor in a moment, but after today's speech, we hope that you'll stay around for a while and enjoy all that's here to rediscover in your downtown and use the State of the City Address coupons that were given to you today. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the City of Vancouver, USA's 212 State of the City Address.
It began along the broad banks of the mighty Columbia River. These fertile grounds have brought great opportunity to those with a knack for hard work, a passion for giving, and a pioneering spirit. The Columbia coursed through good times and bad, flowing past pandemics, economic collapse, and two world wars. Each time, the challenges of the moment brought people together, revealed opportunities, and forged new leaders. One of the greatest civic contributors in Vancouver history, John P. Kiggins, served as mayor four times in three decades. Kiggins helped steer Vancouver through severe challenges, including the Great Depression.
As so many others did, John P. Kiggins came here with the Army right after the Spanish-American War. Got out of the Army, and he became a builder, contractor, and very, very successful. And then he ran for office. And he would stay in public office just about nonstop for the next 30 years. He tried to get a lot of things going and going quickly. The Monday after the Wall Street crash in 1929, he ordered the police department to move across the street from City Hall and ordered a new City Hall built. And he said, and we'll build it like an office building in case we have to sell it in a hurry.
Today, Vancouver is a community proud of its past, with a keen eye toward a future full of promise. While new leaders have emerged to tackle today's modern challenges, the community honors past accomplishments. Many of the facilities built by J.P. Kiggins can be found throughout our community. With the help of the Vancouver Downtown Association, donors, the city, and hundreds of hours of volunteer support, new owners have recently renovated and reopened the Kiggins Theater in the midst of today's Great Recession.
So many things in this area bear Kiggins' name because he's a man who devoted 30 years of his life to the city. Kiggins loved the movies. He just loved the movies. And this was truly elegant for its date. The way this is set up, you can have live theater, you can have State of the City, you can have movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my sincere pleasure and honor to present to you the mayor of your generation, Timothy B. Leavitt. Ammunition up here, so if any of you try to start throwing popcorn at me, I'm ready to go. Friends, neighbors, distinguished guests, and citizens of Vancouver, good morning and thank you for joining us at the 2012 State of the City Address. Now, before I get started, I just want to say that I am completely relieved to see you all here this morning. When I got ready, got showered, got cleaned, was getting cleaned up, I heard on the radio that the new iPad was going on sale at stores today. And I thought, geez, I might have to go stand at the Apple store and give my State of the City address. But I'm honored to have you here today. I want to check on one person just to be sure. Bob Knight, are you here this morning? Somewhere around here. I was most worried about Bob. I know he likes technology. Isn't that right, Bob? On behalf of the Vancouver City Council, I'm honored to stand before you and share important highlights of your city, past, present, and most importantly, future. And that future for our community relies on the policy direction provided by your Vancouver City Council. Council members are dedicated to serving our community, and they are experienced and with diversity and perspective. I'd like to now introduce your Vancouver City Council, and if you'll please hold your applause until the end, and then help me thank them for their efforts here in our community. Councilmember Jeannie Harris, Councilmember Jeannie Stewart, Councilmember Larry Smith, Councilmember Jack Berkman, Councilmember Bart Hansen, and our newest Councilmember Bill Turley. Thank you, Council. We set the policy direction, and our city manager is responsible for implementation. Each and every day, city employees work diligently to see that the city is meeting the needs of our community. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to a T, every single city employee that I have ever interacted with, they have the utmost dedication to our community, want to do their job in the best way they can to serve you and I, and our friends and family and neighbors. And it really is an honor, and it makes our job as council members and me as mayor much easier having the city employees that we do. Absolutely. Our city manager is Eric Holmes. He is the one and only employee of your city council. And I'll tell you this, I believe there is absolutely none better. Eric Holmes, please stand and be recognized. And I'd also like to thank, of course, the Vancouver Downtown Association, Lee Rafferty, Linda Glover, and our nearby businesses for participating in and coordinating this event. And that includes the North Bank Gallery, who were so gracious to host the overflow that that we have today, because we're at standing room only capacity here at the theater. So as you might imagine, there is much work that goes into preparation of the State of the City. And the VDA deserves tremendous kudos. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Lee. Thank you to the VDA. Pride, progress, and possibilities. Without question, we are a community that radiates a tremendous amount of pride. And let's be clear, ours is a pride that is grounded in the humility and authenticity of our roots. We are founded on the spirit of our Native American ancestors who for many generations lived and traded here. We gain our tenacity from pioneers and first families, those who trekked across untamed lands of our great country to discover and settle this beautiful place. We draw courage from the generations of soldiers who made Vancouver their home and served our country. And we have acquired resolve from those before us who successfully weathered many challenges. Recessions and depressions, real estate busts and booms, natural disasters, political, military, and social confrontations. Time and again, our community pride has commanded that we draw up our bootstraps, we face our challenges, and we work together to successfully overcome. For laying the foundation of a strong community, we are indebted to early leaders like Henry Williamson, Mother Joseph, Mayor J.P. Kiggins, Esther Short, General George C. Marshall, Henry Kaiser, and the more contemporary community advocates like Donna Cantwine, Mary Granger, E.W. Furstenberg, and Dolly Lynch, amongst the many, many other selfless individuals that we have been graced with. Each has played an instrumental role in establishment of our original Vancouver. And I encourage you to visit Susan Tissot at the Clark County Historical Museum to learn more about their accomplishments. Speaking of Mayor J.P. Kiggins, can you believe this incredible theater? How many of you came to this theater as a youngster or a young adult and enjoyed a movie? I know I did many times over. Only because owner Bill Lee pursued his dream to restore this landmark are we able today to enjoy Mayor Kiggins' vision for the performing arts. Bill, thanks to you and your staff for taking care of this important community asset. Thank you very much. I know Bill is here with us. Like Bill, there are many others, organizations and individuals who are deeply committed and passionate about the quality of life and well-being of our citizens. The breadth of productive partnerships, the number of willing volunteers, and the depth of philanthropic charity is overwhelming. That word is overwhelming. Elected officials, public agency leadership, nonprofit service organizations, foundations, and trusts, business organizations like our chamber, CREDC, Identity Clark County, and the East Vancouver Business Association, our faith communities, our schools, our colleges, and the many, many volunteers on our boards and commissions. There really are simply too many partners doing such great work in our community for me to recognize here today, unless you want to be here for another hour or so, and I suspect that's probably not the case. In fact, I promised Dean Sutherland, who's sitting in the back there, that he wouldn't get a parking ticket today, so we'll get this wrapped up as quick as we can. You got that, Dean? I would like to recognize a few special circumstances. First, our Port of Vancouver is truly the economic engine of jobs, freight, and commerce for Southwest Washington. Yeah. And there's even bigger news. This year, the port is celebrating 100 years of that mission. Our port is 100 years old. Now, from me, you won't hear a rendition of Happy Birthday. I thought Bob might applaud on that. But I would like to sing the praises of Executive Director Larry Paulson. Larry is about to retire, but his leadership of our port over the past 20 years has been professional, reliable, and passionate. Larry Paulson, thank you very much for leading our port. Secondly, we have 64 neighborhood associations around our fair city. Neighbors are coming together to take ownership of their little piece of Vancouver. We celebrate another birthday today here in the Esther Short neighborhood. For 20 years, our downtown has enjoyed the passion of this association. President Paula Persson is here with us this morning. Paula, thank you, and please pass our appreciation to your neighbors for the great work you're doing here in downtown Vancouver. Thank you. Lastly, we have with us this morning two extraordinary individuals, Jerry and Marcia Keene. I recently spent time with them at our local Veterans Assistance Center, which they founded. The Keens volunteer their time with about 25 others to provide guidance, mentorship, and sometimes just a listening ear to a very important set of individuals in our community, our disenfranchised military veterans. This couple is passionate about helping others who have served our country, and it is truly a moving experience to feel their devotion. Jerry and Marcia, you're with us today. Please stand to be recognized by our community. Speaking of veterans, I know that we are graced today with a number of active military personnel, members of the reserve, and other veterans. Please also stand and allow us to thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your service to our country. To each and every one of you who have given of your time, your talents, or your pocketbook to worthy causes in our community, know this: you are transforming our home for the better. This is our DNA. This is our identity. Indeed, friends, we are Vancouver.
As we have for the last 155 years, Vancouver has navigated through uncertain times with a keen eye to the future. Along the mighty Columbia, key infrastructure investments and transportation connections will help position this region for economic prosperity.
The Port of Vancouver, with the City of Vancouver, has been working for years to bring new economic development to our community with the jobs that come with it. Our West Vancouver Freight Access Project is doing just that, providing an opportunity for $400 million in private investment here in Vancouver over the next few years. Two exciting examples currently under construction are United Grain Corporation's $80 million expansion of the port's grain facility and Far West Steel's new $48 million steel fabrication facility.
In downtown Vancouver, a renaissance continues. As more people live and work in the downtown core, new small businesses have emerged, including Gravitate Design and the Source Climbing Center.
I live over here in Vancouver, so we wanted to introduce something here in Vancouver that could be Vancouver's own, climbing gym, and a resource so people don't have to go across the river. I actually come from a hometown of about 500 people, so I really like the atmosphere where everyone's coming together and supporting each other. Having the mayor here and having him climb on our opening night, and you know, the crowds out here and everyone's cheering, and that's the neat thing about being part of Vancouver. People know each other, you get connected with everyone from the mayor to people who live on the east side. It's a fun place to be, so I'm really excited to be here.
Signs of an economic revival are appearing throughout the city. Key city investments in infrastructure along the 192nd corridor have spurred major investment on land that included former rock quarries.
Today we're standing in front of Building E, as we call it. It's a 10,000 square foot building, which is part of a 120,000 square foot master plan. The building behind us is probably 60 days from being complete, where tenants will take occupancy.
This site here will have a mixture of both conventional retail as well as some professional, such as the orthodontist, and we'll also have a chiropractor. At full occupancy here, we will have an employment factor of maybe 125 people.
Adapting to the new economic realities, the city of Vancouver has been changing with the times. The city cut more than $30 million from its current budget and laid off more than 20% of its workforce. Last year, the city purchased a new city hall for half its actual value, saving $1 million per year in costs by downsizing from 5 facilities to 1. All of the city's investments are made to ensure a brighter future for the community of Vancouver.
The city, along with every part of our community, actually has struggled with the change in the economy, and the city has really looked to make fundamental changes in the way that we do business.
Vancouver is a very large city geographically, and our city hall is located in downtown Vancouver. And to me, and I believe to the rest of council, it's important to bring city hall out into the community. I think what we're doing is offering an opportunity for folks to come down the street to meet with their city council rather than having to pack everybody in the car and go all the way to downtown Vancouver. We're coming over to the east side, bringing council to the people. We're on the road.
Every aspect of people's lives are touched by the work that we do in service to this community. We do it as efficiently and as effectively as we can, in a way that is accountable to the citizens that we serve, and we strive for excellence in everything that we do.
The city is successfully navigating through these challenging times, as it has for the past 155 years. Most importantly, we are living within our means, and the city budget is stabilized through this year. So let's review our recent progress. Last year, I laid out an aggressive set of initiatives to enhance city services, cut costs, and set the stage for future growth. Here is where we stand today. I pledged we would work toward an even easier building permit process. Today, the city has invested in new technology that very soon will allow for paperless submittals and for a more transparent process. Permitting requirements have been eased and streamlined. I pledged we would consider a modest level of refunding of our roads program. Today, our businesses and neighborhoods are requesting a larger look at our roads funding. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in deferred maintenance and capital projects, but we are committed and we have an obligation to address this shortfall. That's why this is still a top priority for your council in 2012. I pledge we would work toward redevelopment of the empty Block 10 here in our downtown. You all know where Block 10 is, right? Okay. You know, in this economy, it has been difficult to proceed, but we know that reuse of Block 10 could enhance downtown dramatically. So I'll be soon working with a group of stakeholders to re-energize the block, and we will continue to explore new ideas for permanent development, like a performing arts center. I I pledged we would engage in actively marketing our city to new employers. Today, we are working to create more jobs and grow business on two fronts. In 2011, the Columbia River Economic Development Council prepared a new plan that focuses our local efforts on creating more jobs and growing business. And regionally, we are working hand in hand with Greater Portland, Inc. Last year, Vancouver hosted a fly-in at Pearson Airfield, showcasing our community to CEOs and investors from all over the country. I pledged we would revisit the city's impact fee program. Today, we are reviewing and comparing those fees to the value of new development. This work will continue this year and may result in significant changes to our impact fee system. I pledge we would assess our ownership of certain city properties. Today, we have moved out of the Esther Short building and have it listed on the open market for sale or for lease. Last year, we downsized from 5 city buildings to 1 city hall, saving about $1 million per year in costs to you and I, the taxpayers of our community. And we're very pleased to be back in downtown. And the city inked an agreement with Fort Vancouver Library to continue operations at their headquarters on Mill Plain, all the while preserving the city's future potential redevelopment. I pledged that we would revisit the downtown parking program. Now, you all should be aware that just because I'm mayor and just because we're council members, we don't get a free pass on parking in downtown. The city manager will attest that I have probably paid 15 parking tickets myself over the past year or so, and he gets to hear about it every time I deal. Today, we have completed a test pilot for a new program offering incentives to park off-street, and there is more to come this year. I pledge that we would finalize a plan of action to reconstruct or relocate our aged fire stations. Today, I'm pleased to share that the City Manager's Office and Fire Chief Molina, in partnership with our fire unions, have launched an effort to explore how we can do better, to have the right people with the right skills at the right place and the right time and with the right tools. I applaud this collaborative approach, and that approach will include feedback from you, our community. I pledge we would outline steps to bolster our police department. Today we know that more than 30 positions funded by federal grant dollars will likely be eliminated. 30 positions. How do we preserve these officers after grant money expires and further increase our ranks in the police department? There really is no easy solution. Later this year, the city will begin planning for the future of policing in Vancouver. I call on the police union to be a collaborative partner in this effort. I pledge we would improve our council meeting agendas. Today, we are the most accessible elected body in the region and at all levels of representative government, your city council. Citizens have 6 opportunities to talk to council each month, including 2 monthly open comment sessions. And we continue to hold town hall meetings throughout our community. Our goal is to attract more citizens and a broader perspective to come and talk with us. We want to hear from those that haven't previously spoken up, and I know that you're out there. I pledged we would reach you, our citizens, in new ways. Today, the city has launched an online service center, a live Vancouver webcam, our own YouTube channel, and a revamped Facebook page. Now you can do business with the city from the comfort of your own home. And soon, within the next couple weeks, our police department will launch a new crime mapping tool. Get this. You'll be able to search for crimes in Vancouver by date or type. You'll be able to receive alerts when crimes occur, submit an anonymous tip to our Crime Stoppers group. And funny enough, those of you with an iPhone, you'll be able to download an app for this service. Yeah, who has an iPhone? I see a few of them out there. I pledged we would implement a utility billing program to help needy families during these tough times. Today, we are preparing to implement the Help to Others, or H2O, Vancouver Utility Program. I'm proud to say that every penny donated to this utility program will go directly to helping others that are needy in our community. I pledged that we would develop a citywide volunteer program. In the last year, we held 43 different volunteer events. We created an online community volunteer calendar and mobilized more than 800 volunteers in our community. We launched a new volunteer fire corps program to build on the success of our smoke alarm installation program. Staff and volunteers last year installed more than 1,000 smoke detectors throughout our community. And we added 30 new volunteers to the popular Neighbors on Watch or Now program, bringing that group of volunteers to a total of 87. Now, some of you may have seen our Now volunteers around the community. They've got vests on, they have walkie-talkies, they've got placards on their vehicles. These folks are adding to the eyes and ears of our police department, working on our streets, in our parks, looking for indications of unscrupulous activity, providing important support to what our law enforcement department is accomplishing with preventing crimes and ensuring that we are a safe community. So I want to also thank, I know we have some Now volunteers with us. These folks are dedicating 100% volunteer time to help protect us. So Now volunteers, please stand up and be recognized by our community. I also revealed a piece of last-minute news last year. The United Way offered a $6,000 matching grant to ensure that the Evergreen Park Summer Camp program wasn't cut. You may recall that. Today I'm pleased to tell you that other corporate citizens like Veolia and Comcast have also stepped forward. But this program, which is geared toward children in the Fourth Plain Corridor, needs more support. To ensure that the camp remains intact for another 2 years, we must raise an additional $16,000. I ask you to please consider this extremely worthwhile program and contact me personally to make a donation. And finally, you emphatically supported my call to build that bridge. Nearly 20 years of effort, bi-state committees, task forces, sponsor councils, expert and independent review panels, numerous community advisory groups, extensive consultations with local tribal interests, nearly 1,000 public events with 30,000 participants, studies, surveys, designs, more studies, more surveys, and redesigns. Today, the federal government has approved of this project. Yeah. Now the Columbia River Crossing project is eligible for hundreds of millions of dollars in federal support. The project is immensely complex with many, many interests. Nearly two dozen public agencies from federal to local are involved. And that's in addition to local Native American tribes, a dozen neighborhoods, hundreds of businesses, and over 1 million residents in the Vancouver-Portland metro area. Do you get my point? Very complex. Fortunately, there have been many strong CRC advocates over the years. Governor Gregoire has been a staunch supporter of Southwest Washington's economy and this project. Yeah, thank you. Both Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and our former Congressman Brian Baird have been there for us. Our state legislators like Jim Moeller, Sharon Wiley, and Craig Pridemore get it. I know we have Representative Moeller with us. Jim, thank you very much for your dedication to this project. Thank you. In fact, both the state Senate Transportation Chair, Mary Margaret, and the House Transportation Chair, Judy Cliburn, also have been strong supporters of Southwest Washington and this project. Other legislators around the state recognize the importance of this to our entire region, ladies and gentlemen. These leaders understand that the bridge is a vital economic artery. It is hemorrhaging and must be operated on. The strength of our heart, that is, the vitality of our community, our quality of life, and the opportunity for increased jobs and business relies on an improved bridge, interchanges, and connection to the 55 miles of light rail system on this side of the Columbia River. We are extremely fortunate that the Federal Transit Administration is prepared to pay for the construction of the light rail piece. We're also fortunate that several hundred million dollars is anticipated from the Federal Highway Administration. But we will continue to lobby our Congresswoman to productively support and work toward garnering more monies for this project. I call on Congresswoman Herrera Butler to focus her energy on bringing back to our community these much needed federal dollars. It is high time that Southwest Washington realize it's just due with federal financial support, and we rest that responsibility in the hands of our Congresswoman. And I'll reiterate our call to both the Oregon and Washington state legislatures. Investment in jobs and safe, efficient transportation for Southwest Washington must be the priority for your next legislative session, and the CRC must be top of the list. Let's remember this, folks. Every dollar that we receive from both states and the federal government, every dollar means that much less of a burden and less of a cost to our pockets here locally. And we're going to continue to lobby for as much federal and state support as we possibly can garner. Now, in light of all the facts and the real circumstances of this project, some people still want you to believe that a new bridge or new interchanges are not needed, or that public transit and light rail are a waste of money, or that this project can be constructed without one of the pieces, or that this project can be constructed without some local skin in the game. These people are long on criticism and short on solutions. And frankly, none of their so-called solutions are feasible, period. We know this. The studies, the evidence, and the need for investment in our future is crystal clear. The project is a replacement bridge of 10 lanes, reconstruction and widening of 5 interchanges, and the extension of about 1 mile of light rail, 1 mile of light rail through downtown Vancouver. So I say to you again, and please join me, let's build that bridge.
There is opportunity and possibility throughout this community, stretching from downtown all the way to the east side 192nd corridor.
Just sit and watch that river one afternoon, and you'd be astounded at how much transportation of goods.
With the completion of such critical projects, such as the Forest West Vancouver Freight Access Project, the city's new waterfront development, and the Columbia River crossing, the city's future is bright.
The 192nd corridor is very exciting. It's where Camas and Vancouver converge.
After 155 years, Vancouver has learned that possibilities don't just happen. They have to be earned. It takes strong leadership, solid planning, sacrifice, and hard work. The city's long-held goal of reconnecting historic downtown to the Columbia River will soon be realized with construction of the Waterfront Community Park and Waterfront Access that will connect to more than a half mile of parks and open space at the former Boise Cascade site and the city's signature Columbia River Renaissance Trail. Working with grants and a variety of community partners, the city has begun placing critical infrastructure that will lead to a vibrant waterfront community, enhancing our quality of life here and adding offices, residences, restaurants, shops, and most importantly, jobs. The Waterfront Access Project and the redevelopment of the old Evergreen Airfield in the center of the city show how the city's investment in infrastructure can lead to major private development. It takes partnerships to flourish. Local governments can't do it alone. Throughout our city, people are rolling up their sleeves and helping to build Vancouver's future. Whether it's now volunteers working with police to help keep our community safe, neighbors cleaning up a local park, or students spending a school holiday planting trees along Burnt Bridge Creek, citizens are stepping up and making possibilities a reality.
For me personally, I've helped to plant probably over 20,000, 30,000 trees with a number of other people in the community. So I can walk along this area here and with my kids go in the summertime, ride bikes and say, hey, we planted those. And it's a matter of pride for me because I grew up in this area, in this community. And I can say safely that that area didn't used to look like that over there, Burnt Ridge Creek.
Path ahead has been blazed for generations. Together, we can tackle any challenge. Together, we can achieve the dream of a more prosperous tomorrow. Together, we build the possibilities for future generations.
set this down. I've discussed our past, our present, and now let's look to the future. Clearly, these are challenging times. While the hallmark of the last decade was prosperity, we have since come to realize as a community, as a nation, the world, we borrowed that prosperity from our future. Today, those costs have caught up with us. We did not arrive where we are overnight, and we will not get out of it overnight. As your mayor and this community's chief elected official, I am committed to staying a course that moves our city from fiscal solvency to fiscal health. The Vancouver City Council has established the following as priority agenda items for this coming year. Number one, we are going to address the future of fire, ambulatory, and emergency facilities. Secondly, we'll establish financial policies to further strengthen the quality of city services. Third, we are going to establish a strategic plan for the future of policing. Fourth, we're going to address the future of parks and recreation services. Fifth, we are going to represent and advocate for the community's interests in the I-5 bridge replacement. Sixth, we are going to address the city's long-term street infrastructure needs. Seventh, we're going to enhance the city's role in planning for jobs creation by our local businesses. And we are going to further improve on ways to reach, educate, and involve citizens in our community. This is a heavy and hefty but necessary load for priority issues that we must address in the coming year. They are focused for laying the foundation for a more sustainable future. This work is not sexy or glamorous. It's hard and takes time. You get dirty, your knuckles get scraped, and your back gets sore. If you don't do it right, the house doesn't stand straight. You do it right, and the house can stand for generations. Vancouver's possibilities are all around us. And together, from the new foundation we build today, we can make it even more so. In the coming years, I invite the City Council and community to work with me toward some of these thoughts. I would like to explore more vibrancy for our downtown core and permanently redevelop Block 10. We are going to develop a truly world-class urban park while opening a half mile of the Columbia River waterfront to our citizens. We're going to establish an arts and entertainment district in downtown, building even greater vibrancy in our historic heart. And building on the momentum along 192nd Avenue, let's launch redevelopment of the Riverview Gateway District, one of the most spectacular pieces of land in the entire region. You know, we are so fortunate to live in one of the most desirable areas of our country. Our schools provide a quality education, our water is clean and our air is clear. Our crime is low and our streets are safe. Our community is caring and giving with an amazing level of philanthropy. Our cost of living is fair. And in your city, we enjoy the lowest utility rates of all the surrounding areas. We enjoy recreation programs at two beautiful community centers. We are located within 90 minutes or less of the ocean, mountains, desert, wine country, and the amazing Columbia River Gorge. And within a hop, skip, and a jump, we have access to one of the highest rated, most efficient international airports in the United States. We enjoy summer concerts in the heart of our community. We dance and celebrate at the annual Wine and Jazz and Sausage Festivals. We can run in the Vancouver Marathon or the Summer Solstice or ride with the Bike Alliance. We can volunteer at the Humane Society, share, the Winter Hospitality Overflow, Arc of Clark County, Neighbors on Watch, or our newly formed Fire Corps. We can eat and drink at many great establishments in Vancouver. And very importantly, we have increasing options to shop local. We can host large events at both the Hilton Convention Center and the Heathman Lodge. In fact, just this week, Columbia Sportswear held their annual International Managers Meeting right here in good old Vancouver, USA. Right here, yes. New downtown businesses are springing up. A booming East Vancouver is alive with new private investment, and our port is teeming with industry. Fort Vancouver National Trust is beginning to restore the post-hospital building. The National Park Service is about to begin restoration of the East and South Barracks in our national park, the only national park in the Portland metro area. Our thriving local performing and visual arts community is re-energizing. Our parks are many and our trails are long. Our community college is continuing to expand, and coming next month, in fact, April 19th, ladies and gentlemen, is a very big day for this community. On April 19th, Clark College will be hosting the annual Sakura Festival, which is our celebration of the cherry blossoms in honor of our sister city and sister Rotary Club relationship with Joyo Japan. We'll be having that ceremony April 19th. And in conjunction, we will be dedicating the Pollard Japanese Memorial Garden thanks to a $1 million contribution from SDH America. But wait, that's not all that's going on April 19th. It's a very big day for our community. April 19th, we are also, the Fort Vancouver National Trust is hosting, again, the General George C. Marshall Lecture Series. And with us this year, we are going to have the Russian Ambassador to the United States. That is also happening on April 19th, and I'll tell you why that is important. We are celebrating this year the 75th anniversary of Valery Chkalov's landing at Pearson Airfield during his transpolar flight. 75 years ago that happened, when George C. Marshall, General Marshall, met Valery Chkalov at Pearson Airfield. It's a very important day. Chkalov is a national hero in Russia, and they want to celebrate that landmark date with us here in our community in association with many big events they're having in Russia. So April 19th, mark that on your calendars. It's gonna be a busy and very important day here in Vancouver. WSU Vancouver continues to grow and recently named a new chancellor to lead our local university into its next chapter. I know that we have representatives from our school districts, Clark College and WSU, here today, and I want to thank you for your commitment to the possibilities of Vancouver through a great education received right here in our community. Thank you to all of those from our school districts and higher ed that are here today. So, somebody please tell me why in the world we shouldn't be optimistic about our future. Yes, these are tough times. But those that came before us, those original pioneers and first families and community leaders, they too faced challenges. And in the end, they made sacrifices for their future, or our today. The time will soon come when we will be asked to help our future generations, to reinvest in our community, in our parks and trails and recreation programs, in our roads, sidewalks, public transit, our fire stations, and in the strength of our police department to fight crimes, fight gangs, and investigate theft. And when that time comes, when you are asked to help or to sacrifice a bit more, I ask that each and every one of you step forward and join me in committing to the possibilities. Each and every one of us carry an obligation to ensure that the city continues to remain a great place to live, work, and play. I was recently reminded of some words of wisdom that the great Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. shared with us. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. So today I ask this: where will you stand? Where will we stand? The future of our city, now and for generations to come, hinges on our answer to this calling. But I am optimistic. I am optimistic, ladies and gentlemen. Pride, progress, and possibilities. Like those that came before us, we have pioneering spirit. We are resilient, we will innovate, we will persevere. And I'll tell you this, friends. For as long as you allow me to be the mayor of Vancouver, I will not give up. Thank you, and God bless.